Amen. Just a reminder that next Sunday, Brandon begins his series. It'll go for at least 6 weeks, and looking forward to that. So it is my intent to get through this today. And of course, we're looking at AI, and I'm basing a lot of what, not what I'm saying, but I have a lot of quotes from the most recent publication of the Frontline magazine, and it has to do with developing a Christian perspective when it comes to AI or what we know as artificial intelligence. Remember that by definition, artificial intelligence is artificial, and at the same time, it is intelligence, and that intelligence comes from somewhere. We talked about where AI or artificial intelligence gets its information. And just go to the very bottom. It's a bit like having a library that constantly expands with new books and articles. It is constantly being updated. It is constantly gathering more information because information is becoming more and more available all the time. One of the concerns that many have about AI is that it'll begin replacing people. And my concern, as I'm addressing it in this class, is for Christians, that many Christians will be tempted to use AI to replace a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. And I've made this comment that AI, or artificial intelligence, is a tool. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we need to remember that. And that it is possible for you to allow yourself to be led by this artificial intelligence rather than by divine intelligence, my term, the Holy Spirit. We looked at the idea of facts and truth, and it is possible to have all the facts about something and yet not have the truth. The Bible is called not a book of facts, but a book of truth. And that's not just a book of truth, it is the truth. And even the prepositions used in that very phrase are important. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17, something that we need to make sure we keep in mind. Thy word is truth. That is where truth comes from. It does not come from AI. There is no sanctifying power through AI. And yet, my concern is that people will begin turning to AI. Really, they would never say, well, I'm just going to replace the Holy Spirit. Nobody would, who's really a Christian would do that. And yet, sometimes we do things unknowingly. And so my purpose is to warn you about that. Last time we ended with this quote, and let me just give you this quote again. In education, the use of AI could hinder a student from learning necessary skills, research, analysis, critical thinking, originality, problem solving, creativity, and more. If a student uses AI to find or complete answers for math, science, or especially a subject like writing, he will hinder his abilities as a student. And I pointed out that with illustrations like even reading maps, and today how we are so reliant upon something like the maps feature on your phone that you don't even have to think about where you're going anymore. You just plug it into your phone and your phone takes you. I think that's a good illustration of what AI is capable of doing. And it's in a good way. I love that feature. In fact, now I've got an app on my phone that helps me when I'm hunting. Jesse's the one who alerted me to this. It's Onyx, O-N-X. And I can, when I'm with an internet somewhere, I can download the place I'm going to hunt. And I can literally, out there in the middle of nowhere, with no signals, no towers, nothing, I can bring that up. It's been downloaded on my phone, and I can see exactly where I am. And as I walk, I can see it walk on, not it walk, but I can see the dot move on my phone so that I can potentially never get lost. And then it tells me, okay, you're getting close to private property, and it shows when I cross private property. I love that feature because if you shoot an animal on private property, it's bad news. I can see I want to be a distance away from that private property so that the animal doesn't, if I don't hit it right, that he has any room to run onto private property. If it goes 1 yard onto private property after I've shot him, even though I shot him on non-private property, I've got to go to the owner and ask permission to get it off of his property. And he has the right to claim it if it went on his property. Talk about maddening. Anyway, you have all of these features, wonderful tools that we can use. But now, we're talking about an education. Every Christian is a disciple or should be a disciple. What is another word for disciple? Student, pupil. And so we've got to understand, and this is frozen, it won't move on me. So Brad, if you could come up and just work on that while I teach a little bit. We've got to understand that as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if my knowledge comes from anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm in trouble in what I do. Let me get my notes because I have some things written down here. I wrote this down. If my knowledge comes from typing in a question rather than struggling with Holy Spirit-infused seeking and searching, I will not grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I ought. Let me read that again. I wanted to have it up there so you could see it and think about it even as I was talking. That really helps. If my knowledge comes from typing in a question rather than struggling with Holy Spirit-infused seeking and searching, and there's the key, Holy Spirit-infused seeking and searching, that requires research, analysis, critical thinking. Thank you, Brad. So there you've got it where you can think through it a little bit better. You know what it's like when you have to do the work of finding an answer. How many of you remember going to the library card file to find a book? Oh, that was so much work. And yet I almost feel sorry today for people who've never had to go through that experience, because not only do you not appreciate what you have, but you also missed out on the learning that came with the seeking and the searching and the thinking and the strategizing for that paper you're trying to write. And just really having to delve deeply. Today, the thinking's done for you. And I am saying that can be dangerous for a Christian. You can ask AI facts about Scripture. But what about biblical principles? You can ask AI, where's this verse in the Bible? And it helps you find it. Even that has its negatives. I mean, what was this? What was it that was said of the Berean church? That they did what daily? They searched the Scriptures daily. There was no concordance, and I'm very thankful for Strong's concordance. But you know how people used to know their Bibles? Because they had no concordances or anything like that. They had to learn it. They were forced to think. And the Holy Spirit uses our searching, our investigating, our seeking to teach us something. Biblical principles, where there may not be a verse. By the way, like shallow Christians demand. Do you know what I'm saying? Shallow Christians demand a verse. Mature Christians can see a biblical principle. So oftentimes people will say, well, show me where that is in the Bible. I say, well, there's a biblical principle involved here. Like maybe one of you saying, well, where does the Bible condemn using AI? find a verse. Okay, you can't find a verse, so forget it. I want you to see an example of Paul's, he was Saul at the time in Acts chapter 9. He had just been converted. So go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And this is something that I would have pointed out when I was preaching through this chapter, but I want to remind you of this because it is something that I have used frequently as a challenge in my own life. It was Saul's spiritual growth there in Acts chapter 9. And how was it possible that in chapter 9 and verse 22, this was said of him? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Where did Saul's ability to confound the Jews, where did Saul's ability to prove that this is very Christ, where did that come from? What was that due to? Well, I want you to see what was involved in his development. Let's start in verse 19, the last part of verse 19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples. Let me just make a point there. Something that helped him grow as a Christian were his companions. You see that in verse 19? He spent time, certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. Listen, if a new believer is going to grow, he or she needs to be with other disciples. Let me ask you something. You, as being that other disciple, will a new believer be able to learn anything from you? There should not be a believer here. There should not be a Christian here from whom a new believer should not be able to learn something. What I find with most Christians is, please don't ask me to disciple him. Why not? How long have you been a Christian? Why can't you disciple somebody? Why can't you take somebody under your wing and disciple them? It's a sad commentary. Development is evidenced by companionship. What was it that he was doing with the disciples? Well, in Galatians, we find this, that he did not learn Christ from them. Galatians 1, 11 and 12 and 16. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood. That doesn't mean he didn't learn some things from other men. We saw that in verse 19. But when it came right down to it, he learned it from the Lord. You'll see his proclaiming in verse 20. The imperfect tense is that he kept on preaching, and straightway he kept on preaching Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Let me stop right there. You want to learn how to disciple somebody? Get involved in teaching. I like to get other people to preach because people find out what's involved in preaching. I don't think people appreciate what teachers go through and what preachers go through in preparation. There are those who do. You've gotten up and spoke before people. But the work involved in doing it is both rewarding and scary. James chapter 3, James says, be not many teachers. Don't just, I just want to be a teacher. I love teaching. And yet you can't get a point across without rabbit trailing, going off. And people going, what are you talking about? And that's my concern all the time, is that I don't get caught chasing rabbits. So he kept on preaching. Number three, his testimony. This was involved in his spiritual development in verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? So it was his testimony. Saul's testimony is more than what he said about himself. It was also the change that the others saw about him. They saw a change in his life. His testimony caused amazement in the people that he saw. There was a big change. Remember, Christ does not change, but what should believers be doing? Constantly changing more into his image. So what he is now doing is totally opposite of what he had been doing. But here's the point I'm getting to. His proving. That's how I started it off there in the earlier slide. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. Was there any searching and struggling and seeking on Saul's part even before he was saved? Oh my. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel. It is said that the Apostle Paul knew at least five languages. He was a very learned man. There is no premium on stupidity. God does not put a premium on you just saying, well, I'm just this old, you know, country bumpkin. That's, you know, pray for me. I ain't studied much, but, you know, hopefully something will come out of my mouth today. Yeah, well, we can tell. His proving, he kept on increasing in strength. He had learned facts, having been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. So there's facts. But then you get to that point where he says, proving that this is very Christ. And it's that word proving that I made much of when I preached this passage that I want to remind you of today. That word proving is elsewhere translated to knit together. It's translated that way in Colossians 2:19, where the body is knit together. In other words, the Apostle Paul, here called Saul, was able to knit together the facts he had learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Folks, he knew facts. But why didn't he know at the feet of Gamaliel, as smart, intelligent, and wise as Gamaliel was? Why didn't Saul know about Christ? He was smart. He had AI. But it was even better than AI. He had a man who was completely intelligent, who was teaching Jews, who is even famous today to all Jews. You sat at the feet of Gamaliel? Oh my. Wow, you were so privileged to have that kind of a teacher. He had something better than AI. Because this was a man who could reason through things. Here was a man with personality. But somehow afterward, he was able to do what Gamaliel couldn't do. Prove that this was the Christ. A point to which Gamaliel never, as far as we know, came. Saul had knit together what Scripture as a whole says via Holy Spirit-led Scripture study, and he now does the same for his listeners in chapter 9 and verse 22. He could prove this is very Christ. That's my challenge, folks. AI is not going to give you this ability. You're going to get facts. You might get facts just like Saul got at the feet of Gamaliel. But if you're going to learn, you've got a wonderful teacher who's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. He does not indwell an unsaved man's life. Paul, later in his epistles, uses scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. He puts two and two together. That's kind of what the way I like to say that word knit. He knit together the scriptures. He put two and two together. This has happened to you as you have your spirit-led devotions. You will be reading something, and another verse will come to mind, and you're going to go, why have I never seen this before? Well, all kinds of reasons, perhaps. But one of them is this. You're reading your Bible again. You're studying it. You're asking the Lord to show you things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're, how discerned? Spiritually discerned. What I'm saying is this, folks. Artificial intelligence, that wonderful tool that is at the tip of your fingertips now, can become your bypass to 2 Timothy 2:15. To study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is up to the believer to divide or rightly divide the word of truth. It is not up to AI. It is up to you. The pastor, the priests and the scribes, they knew many, many facts about Scripture. Are you there in Acts chapter 9? Go back to chapter 6 and notice after some men got saved, It says, and after the deacons were chosen, verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of who were obedient to the faith? Priests. Finally, they're able to put two and two together. Finally, they're able to knit together through the preaching of God's word what they had never seen before. And one of the results of Holy Spirit emboldened, filled men who preached the word of God, one of the results is that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Folks, there are a lot of people who know a lot of facts, even Christians who know a lot of facts about the Bible, but it is possible to be ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of, it is possible. Be careful. Don't rely upon artificial intelligence for spiritual guidance. If you do, you have created an idol. And you have created an idol that is your God. I'm going to give you an illustration here. If I would just advance these as I, if I'd remember it. What you see up at the top is something I did on February 6th. I thought, I'm going to use ChatGPT. By the way, I use it for some things. But I thought, I'm going to ask ChatGPT, is there any danger in artificial intelligence usurping the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life? Let me just ask them. Let's see what they say. Here's their answer. This is a thoughtful and important question, especially for those of faith who seek to understand the place of new technologies within their spiritual lives. While AI, including me, can provide information, support, and even generate creative content, it's crucial to remember that I am fundamentally a tool. I don't possess the divine attributes or spiritual essence of the Holy Spirit. They're preaching here, okay? The Holy Spirit, according to Christian belief, here it is God's presence with believers. Now, I would stop there. I'd say it's more than just God's presence. Is God's person. I could theologically say some things, but still they're on the right lines. Guiding, comforting, convicting, and empowering them in their faith journey. AI can't replicate these deeply spiritual and personal experiences. My role is to assist with tasks, answer questions, and provide support in a more practical and informational capacity. However, it's always wise for believers to remain vigilant about the potential impact of any technology on their spiritual lives. Pretty good advice here, folks. This includes ensuring that the use of AI doesn't distract from or replace meaningful spiritual practices such as prayer, meditation, and participation in a faith community. In summary, while I can be a helpful companion in various ways, I cannot and should not replace the unique and sacred role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. It's all about balance and keeping technology in its proper place. Yeah. This is all from AI. This is all from AI. And notice, it's all about balance. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I appreciate it. If you have any other questions or concerns, feel free to ask. By the way, once you've asked that previous question, it remembers what you asked. You don't have to go back and try to fill it. You can just ask it. Well, can you give me a little bit more information? And ChatGPT will give you more information. So here's what I did a few minutes later. I'm looking at that word in. I'm going, okay, I need to ask differently. Not is there any danger in artificial intelligence, but what is there any danger of artificial intelligence usurping the role of a believer, of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life? So I changed one word. I understand your concern. This is ChatGPT. The role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is deeply spiritual, personal, and irreplaceable. The Holy Spirit is, by the way, I got this in seconds. You can see it and it'll populate. And it just goes right down. And this is what, I don't know if it's he or she, it said. The Holy Spirit is believed to guide, comfort, and empower individuals in their faith journey, providing a connection to God's presence. theologically, if you're going to really, you're going to go, okay, this is not just God's presence. This is, the Holy Spirit is God. Artificial intelligence, on the other hand, is a tool created by humans to assist with various tasks, provide information, and offer support. While I can be helpful in many practical and informational ways, I lack the divine essence and spiritual attributes that the Holy Spirit embodies. We would say amen to that. The potential danger lies not in AI itself, but in how it is used. If believers rely excessively on technology and neglect their spiritual practices such as prayer, meditation, and participation in faith community and reading their Bibles, well, maybe that's the meditation part. I added that. They might find their spiritual life affected. It's important to maintain a balance. Here's that balance again. In other words, balance AI with your Bible reading. Using AI as a helpful tool while keeping the unique and sacred role of the Holy Spirit central to their spiritual journey. I know what they're saying, and I can say this is good for the most part. AI can never replace the divine connection, guidance, and comfort that the Holy Spirit provides. It's all about keeping technology in its proper place and not allowing it to overshadow or replace meaningful spiritual experiences. If you have further thoughts or questions, feel free to share what those thoughts or questions are. But I didn't give you the complete answer. I'm going to give you something now that it also mentioned. And by the way, when it says, feel free to share, I'm going, so if I share my thoughts on this, am I able to influence AI? I don't think so. But in the same answer, AI said this. Get this. It seems like you're exploring, the relationship between artificial intelligence and the Holy Spirit. There are some insightful resources that delve into this topic, such as, and then some resources. Now, what is that danger to a new believer right there, folks? You have to... Do we have the mic? Okay. Pass that back to Heather. What is the danger right here?
Well, what if the information is wrong? What if it's an article that's not correct or not aligned with what you should be?
Right. Believing? Those could be good books. I didn't check into them. You're very right. But what about, you know, if this gets somebody into the charismatic movement or something else, because the Holy Spirit has long been a very controversial topic for those who talk all about the Holy Spirit and never talk about the one whom he came to glorify. Jesus said, he shall glorify me, and so forth. So Jesus Christ is missing. He's not even mentioned in the answer given by ChatGPT, and I don't blame him, because they don't put two and two together. And yet, Jesus very clearly said, he, that is the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. And then there's other passages we could go to, like John, 1 John 4, 1 to 3, 5 and 6, which I don't have time for this morning. Educators are rightly concerned that their students can use AI to plagiarize and write something that they can claim as their own work. But how can others tell? Well, AI has a tool to detect plagiarism called GPT-0. I've never used it, but a teacher could potentially put that paper in and say, can you tell me if this student is plagiarizing? And ChatGPT or AI will, for the most part, might be able to help. But as AI improves, so would the difficulty in detecting it for the person who knows how to use AI. By the way, plagiarism is what? Plagiarism is to use and pass off as one's own. That's what plagiarism is. So it may be possible for AI to sound so human that it itself can pass itself off as the Holy Spirit or as Jesus Christ. What brought me to this? The picture I'm about to show you is what I got off on an article that I read. So you're going to look at this article and go, what is that? Who is that? It's an AI-generated version of Jesus Christ in a church confessional in Switzerland. And it drew controversy, as well it should. This is an article by Anna Kaplan, who is a news and trending reporter for today.com. A church in Switzerland experimented with artificial intelligence to create a digital version of Jesus, leading to a debate on if the move brought people closer to God or if it was just blasphemous. St. Peter's Church Chapel in Lucerne, Switzerland, remember we were there, huh? Not the church, but in Lucerne, began the two-month experiment called, it looks like God in a Machine, I would think that's Latin for that, in August, in which visitors spoke with the digital avatar powered by AI inside a confessional booth. So these people could actually go to the church, and instead of the priest being there, there was this AI-generated Jesus there in the booth that was projected behind that screen. The avatar projected onto a computer screen, offered advice to churchgoers based on scripture in more than 100 languages. Many people came to talk with him, said chapel theologian Marco Schmidt. There were young people, older people. People really talked with him in a serious way. The project was developed by a Swift, let me go back. The project was developed by a Swiss IT expert, Philip Hasselbauer, an IT specialist at the Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Arts, who said he used OpenAI's GPT-4, and I think it's just the letter O, and an open source version of the company's Whisper product to power AI Jesus, according to the Associated Press. Before visitors stepped into the confessional booth, the experience was outlined with instructions outside, including a disclaimer not to divulge personal information. Topics like relationships, love, topics like about God, they ask him what to do. Remember I was talking about AI agents a couple of weeks ago? They're asking this AI person, Jesus, they think, what should I do here? Can you ask AI what you should do? You can. And in many cases, it might give you good advice. Like, I'm cooking this. What should I add to it? They might give you some really good advice. The researchers and religious leaders involved in the project released findings from the two-month experiment inside the 300-year-old church in November, according to the Associated Press. About 900 conversations from visitors were transcribed, and some came more than once, the AP reported. Nearly 300 of these visitors filled out questionnaires after exiting the booth, which informed the results released last month. The project leaders found that the experiment was largely a success and that visitors who came out of the booth were moved or deep in thought and found it easy to use, according to the AP. Visitors spoke about topics ranging from the afterlife to true love to feelings of solitude and the existence of God. According to the AP, most visitors, mostly between the ages of 40 and 70, reported on the questionnaire that they were Christians, but agnostics, atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, and Taoists also visited the booth. My point is, are they plagiarizing him? Are they really basically plagiarizing Jesus Christ? Are they basically plagiarizing the Holy Spirit and projecting an image of him in a booth? I mean, how would you like your image projected up on the screen and allow people to ask AI what you would say? Is that plagiarism? They don't know what I'm going to say. They might be able to do it based on what I have said. Dangerous. And this is why I say I think this is a very big threat to Christians, even Christians who know better. I mean, I have to jump down quick. There's something called artificial superintelligence. You've got artificial narrow intelligence, artificial general intelligence, and then there's artificial superintelligence. And this is an article written by Eric Hansen in the Frontline magazine entitled, Who's Afraid of AI? The vision of artificial superintelligence gives rise to speculation about benevolent or oppressive machine gods. Professor Yuval Harari, author and conference speaker for the World Economic Forum, WEF, claims, quote, AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That, just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That's in the article. He referenced in his documented footnotes this article, and I went to this. I typed this in and went to this article. This is by Answers in Genesis, and they are talking about this Professor Harari. Voices like Professor Harari's seem to suggest that AI should function as humanity's authority for truth, at least for spiritual truth, by generating new holy books. Harari cannot say these books would be correct without setting himself as the authority for truth above God's word, as humans have attempted to do since Eden. In a videoed interview, Harari remarked that AI could not only write a new Bible, but also a correct one, implying that God's word is incorrect. Growing reliance on AI for written content may contribute to a dumbed-down society of people who cannot think, research, or communicate for themselves and are therefore easy to control. In an article entitled, Will AI Become Our New Gods? Answers in Genesis. A trans person asked ChatGPT to make a Bible verse describing how Jesus feels about trans people, and the results were surprising. This was linked to that article I just had, and I thought, well, this is interesting. Here's what I came up with, and this is the actual from this trans. I was feeling sad today, so I asked ChatGPT to write a fake biblical passage about Jesus accepting trans people. Why do you have to ask for a fake one? Because it's not, there's, they know that's, he's not going to say what they want to say. Here's what it came up with. And a woman who's, can you read this? Oh yeah, you can see it. And a woman whose heart was divided between spirit and body came before him in quiet despair. She asked, Lord, I come to you estranged, for my spirit and body are not one. How shall I hope to enter the kingdom of God? Jesus looked upon her with kindness, replying, my child, blessed are those who strive for unity within themselves, for they shall know the deepest truths of my Father's creation. Be not afraid, for in the kingdom of God there is no man nor woman, as all are one in spirit. The gates of my Father's kingdom will open for those who love and are loved, for God looks not upon the body, but the heart. Do you see any anything in there that is truth? Oh, I do. I see it right here. God looks not upon the body, but the heart. Doesn't the Bible say that? So all you have to do is find some truths, put it in there, be compassionate with what you're saying, and all of a sudden this woman or this man finds comfort in their sin rather than being confronted by their about their sin that the Bible would do. So I did this. On February 6th, I asked ChatGPT, according to the Bible, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Copilot. Rod and I were talking about Copilot the other day. Here's what their answer was. In the Bible, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is found in the book of Genesis, chapters 18 and 19. The cities, by the way, the way things end, I could not get that straightened out, so sorry for how it runs off the page. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God because of their great wickedness. According to the narrative, their sins included a range of immoral behaviors such as violence, injustice, and the mistreatment of strangers and the poor. The most commonly referenced sin is often sexual immorality, specifically the attempt to commit acts of rape against visitors who were angels in disguise in Sodom. However, the Bible also mentions other sins like pride, gluttony, and a failure to aid the needy. In fact, the prophet Ezekiel provides a broader perspective on the sins of Sodom in Ezekiel 16, 49, and 50, which a passage you need to turn to. Because I'm going to close with something here. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom, is what is recorded there in Ezekiel chapter 16. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen. Conclusion from ChatGPT. Thus, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah can be seen as a cautionary tale about various forms of moral corruption, various forms, social injustice, and neglect of hospitality. If you have any more questions or want to explore a different topic, feel free to ask. Okay. So what's missing? Homosexuality. You say that is so clear. Who's feeding this thing? So I'm looking at this, and I know I've heard their arguments about Ezekiel chapter 16. And so I'm reading, when you read Ezekiel chapter 16, what they left out was what you see in verse 50. And they were haughty and what? I committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So you can then ask a further question and it knows your context and everything? Here's what I asked. So then, according to Ezekiel 16:50, Sodom committed abomination before God. What was that singular abomination? Because it's in the singular. Now look at this wonderful answer from ChatGPT. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble responding to requests right now. Let's try this again in a bit. That's all I could get. Now ChatGPT can't think. I think they could. Because I know they've been given answers to that question. But they chose not to. My whole point with this illustration, folks, is if you're going to look for guidance from ChatGPT and just say, well, they know the Bible. No, they've got their own leanings. They have their own opinions. They have their own biases. You cannot trust ChatGPT. I don't care if it comes out, what's the new one, Grok, that Musk just came out with. He's even concerned that he's being too conservative on there for people. AI, I'm closing with this quote, reflects the values of its trainers, those who program the parameters for how an AI responds. An AI will show its programmers biases and prejudices as to what they believe an AI should say or not, for better or for worse. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, not AI. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life. For the Holy Spirit who indwells each one of us, who knows you as Savior, the Comforter, the Reprover, the Glorifier of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we walk in the Spirit as we're commanded in Galatians chapter 5. So Lord, may we be wise because we are in your word. And Lord, we need wisdom and we ask for it in faith, believing. And in Jesus' name, amen. You are